This morning we are looking at the gospel according to the leprosies. There's a few pieces of groundwork that we're going to have to lay because it's such a large chunk of scripture. The first piece of groundwork that we have to understand is when the Hebrew Bible uses the term leprosy, it is not talking about what we think leprosy is. It's not talking about what has, in modern diagnostics, is called Hansen's disease. This is not leprosy in the Old Testament. The word leprosy comes into English from the Greek lepra, which is not a specific disease like Hansen's disease. Leprosy in the ancient world, to the Hebrew mind, is a series of symptoms that can be called leprosy, and it can appear anywhere. Some of the characteristics of the Hebrew understanding of leprosy includes discoloring of surfaces. Remember how it said, if it's greenish or if it's reddish, then it is leprous. Leprosy only affects a part of the person or the object. If the person is covered in disease, that disease is not leprosy in the Hebrew mind, because leprosy is spotty. It only appears at certain places. It is more than superficial as well. It's not something that just affects the skin. Like, you can look at somebody and they have pigmentation that differs. You know, they're not consistent in their skin tone. That doesn't mean they're a leper, according to Hebrew understanding, because leprosy goes beyond the skin, beneath the skin. It is more than just superficial. And it is also something that needs to be actively spreading. So if someone has my favorite was the bald guy. If the bald guy has reddish spotches on his bald head, that does not mean he's a leper. If it is spreading, it means that he is a leper. So these are series of symptoms that affect aspects of ancient life. And we also see that this is not specifically what our modern understanding of leprosy is, because leprosy can be in a person, it can be on wool, it can be on fabric, it can be on skin, like a garment, a skin of an animal, it can be on the stone of your home, it can be on the plaster of your home. So leprosy is something that affects all of life in the Hebrew mind, not just something that affects the person as a diseased person. And then we also need to underscore this piece of groundwork that we have seen as we've worked through Leviticus. The leprosies of the book of Leviticus are teaching theology, not medicine. They're teaching theology, not medicine. One commentator wrote, "The priests were not doctors trying to decide whether a man was suffering from psoriasis or eczema. The symptoms are such were that which caused a man to be pronounced unclean, not the underlying cause of symptoms. If a man looked bad, he was declared unclean." So we have the priest given the ability to pronounce something unclean, and unclean is not a medical term. It is a theological term. We will see that as we move ahead. God is teaching his priests and his people about the nature of true religion, and essentially he's pointing them to Jesus Christ. He's pointing them to the mediator. And then one last piece of groundwork. To our Western English-speaking mind, those two chapters had zero structure. You know, we talked about a person, we talked a little bit about the remedy, and then we talked about the person some more and some remedy, and then we talked about clothes, and then we went over, we talked about the person some more, and then we talked about the house. And it just doesn't look structured to us in English. But rest assured that in the Hebrew Bible, this follows a structure. If you'd like to see that structure, it's a triad structure that we could look at. But just know that these two chapters are one whole piece that are dealt with together, and they are structured in the Hebrew Bible. So with those pieces of groundwork, let's look at the gospel according to the leprosies. We begin with a diagnosis of sin for our first heading, the diagnosis of sin. Sin is the great problem that Jesus Christ came to make right in the gospel through the redemption of his blood. And leprosy became symbolic of the sin in the life of the ancient people as they worked out the implications of the gospel in types and shadows. So the priests are given this structure of diagnosis for leprosy so that they can think about sin. Remember, this primarily is theological categories. So we look at the nature of sin as we look at chapter 13. Sin is not something that is able to be contained in someone's life if they are outside of Christ. It was not something able to be contained in the life of Adam and Eve. That promise of death was given to them, and it was instantaneous as a spiritual death, but that process of death began in their life, and it was beyond their control. And here we're taught the nature of sin. Here's something that happens to a person, that happens to a garment, that happens to a house. And the people are to be reminded of what sin does to man, what sin does to a home, what sin does to a community. We see that if the person can be leprous and the garments can be leprous and the homes can be leprous. Sin is something that affects all of our lives. Sin is not something that is content just living in the corner of your home. You have the imagery of the house with the leprous walls. It's not something they can just paint over with kills and hope that it goes away. Because it's still there. It's still there, and it will work its way to the front, and it will spread in the life of the home. And the people are taught to think about the nature of sin. Think about the spreading of sin and the way that sin affects all areas of life. Consider the way that we talk about sin. We often will use the term cancer, won't we? Say, well, sin is a cancer. This is exactly what they're doing. They're using leprosy to give them the illustration of what sin is in their home. Sin can destroy a person. Sin can destroy coverings. Sin can destroy homes. Leprosy, as we saw, is categorized by various symptoms. And sin as well can be far-reaching in the life of people as well. Now notice, as we look at the diagnosis of the sin, who is the one giving the diagnosis? It's the priest. It's the one who stands in place of the mediator. It's the priest, and how does he do that? How does he diagnose this leprosy, or how does he teach the diagnosis of the theology of sin? He uses the Word of God, doesn't he? He's given this two chapters that are so detailed, and just dealing with the person, I think that it's 22 different cases of leprosy that are in that chapter. So the Word of God is the only thing that can define the leprosy and give the category of leprosy. And the Word of God is the only thing that can give the definition of sin. We can imagine the priest there. He's called out to someone's home because they think there is a case of leprosy. And the priest comes out and he opens the scroll of Leviticus and he's looking at the person's life and he's looking at the scroll and he's making the comparisons. Is it spreading? Is the hair white within? Is the hair yellow within? Are there black hairs coming out? Is it greenish? Is it reddish? And he's making a diagnosis according to the Word of God. Friends, the Word of God is the only thing that God has given us to diagnose sin. Only the Scriptures are the standard for what is sin. So often what we do in 21st century evangelical Christianity is we say, I don't like this particular thing, therefore it's sin. Or we say, when people behave this way, it makes me feel uncomfortable, therefore it's sin. Or we talk about certain behaviors or certain actions or certain things in our life and we say, you know, I don't have a verse to back this up, but I'm pretty sure you're in sin. We don't have permission to do that. The Word of God being rightly divided is that which shows the definition and the nature of sin. Friends, have you let the Word of God shed light on your heart? Have you let the Word of God search you and say, this aspect of your life is not in accord with the Word of God? It is a leprous cancer that will spread. It's true for Christians as well as non-Christians. For non-Christians, it is the case of the severely leprous man. And even here in the covenant community, as we saw in our reading, there are times when that cancer, that leprosy arises and needs to be dealt with. For those of you in Christ, are you searching your heart for indwelling sin? And as you find indwelling sin, are you calling forth the mediator, our high priest? Come and search my heart through your word. The diagnosis of sin. Secondly, we see the response to sin. What happens when leprosy is found? Look at 13, 45, and 46. There we see the response. The priest determines that there is leprosy. He looks at the garments. He looks at the home. He looks at the person. He says, this is unclean and this must be dealt with. And for the person, verses 45 and 6, the person wears clothes that are torn and his hair hangs loose and he covers his upper lip or his mustache, meaning he makes this. It's not like he puts a band-aid over it. He covers it with his hand and he says, unclean, unclean, outside of the camp. These verses teach us about our response to sin. The first is for the leper is that he is to be in a state of mourning. all that we see in verse 45 are aspects of mourning in the Old Covenant. The tearing of clothes, the letting the hair loose and hang down, covering the face, the shaving of the mustache. We see that in Lamentations. The covering of the mustache and the crying out, unclean, unclean. It's as if the person says, I am amongst the living dead. He is mourning his own death. And congregation, as an unbeliever is confronted with the word of God, and as he understands his condition of heart, as he understands that apart from Christ, he is dead, this too should be the reaction. Mourning. I am unclean. I am dead. I am amongst the living dead. Again, if you are outside of Christ, let the word of God shine on your heart that you will see this cancer, that you will see the leprosy that is in the human heart and that is at the birth of every human, all born in the same condition, dead because of trespasses and sins. If you have not been made right with Christ, you are dead. Mourn. Mourn your state as the word of God calls you to do. But then look at verse 46. The leprous man lives alone and his dwelling is outside of the camp. You see, he's removed from the covenant community. He's told to go and to live out there. He says, go outside of the covenant community. You are not to live and dwell amongst them. And why is that? Well, we say that sin loves company, but what sin really loves is darkness and loneliness, so that it can grow and fester. And here God says, we must remove this from the camp, so that it doesn't affect all that are around it. And what does this teach the leper? It teaches the leper that he is there outside of the covenant community. And you can picture it. Here's the covenant community, and the leper lives out here, maybe in a leper colony, and they can look towards the covenant community. And what do they see? They see smoke. They see that redemption is in there. And I am out here. The proclamation of Christ crucified is within the covenant community. And yet the leper is to feel the fact that he is separated from that, so that he longs for it. So that he longs for that redemption. So that he can look to the smoke that's constantly rising from the sacrifices that occur and say, not only am I outside of redemption, but in there, redemption is available. You can see the leper praying, maybe, Lord, apply that smoke to me. Apply that redemption to me. And when we're under conviction for our sin, we are supposed to sense both the fact that sin separates us from God and that redemption is available through Christ. And this is what the leper is to be taught. It's to encourage him. He's to look at the smoke of the covenant and long for those sacrifices to be applied. He's not only to sense the weight of his sin, but the fact that redemption is available. And friends, if you are outside of Christ and you are under the weight of your sin, know that redemption is available. Redemption in Christ is available. You can look to your own life and the sin that fills your life and know that there is one that can make atonement for it. Jesus Christ. And you must look to his finished work. The response to sin is seen and lastly we must look at the cleansing from sin. The cleansing from sin. So here's the leper. The leper's been diagnosed. There's a sin problem. This leprosy is in my flesh, or this leprosy is in my clothing, it's in my warp and woof, and this leprosy is in my home. And the response to that is that the leper is taken outside and he looks to that smoke for redemption. And the home is taken care of by the priest, and the garment is taken care of by the priest. But there's a cleansing that must occur as well. And this is what much of 14 deals with, is this cleansing. I want you to notice something about this cleansing. These three rituals that are in chapter 14, they are not magic potions or incantations to heal leprosy. The priest is not called so that he may do all of these things and heal the leper. These things are done in response to a healing. This is very important because the ancient Hebrew church, the Jewish church, understood that God alone can heal the leper. Do you understand the New Testament implications of that? Here's the Jewish church that they call forth the priest to cleanse them because God has healed them. Here comes Jesus. Story of the 10 lepers. Jesus of Nazareth, heal us. They don't say cleanse us. They say heal us. You see, Jesus did not come to cleanse lepers as a priest. He came to heal lepers as God. And here, as we look at this cleansing in chapter 14, the priest is coming not to heal, not to heal as Jesus healed, but merely to cleanse, because God has already healed them. So three aspects to the cleansing, and each of these aspects teach us about sin and the way that sin is to be dealt with in our person and in our home and in the community. And the first aspect is seen in this bird ceremony in 14:1-8. And in this bird ceremony, the leper who has been cleansed calls on the priest to come outside of the camp. And the priest comes outside of the camp, and he's got two birds, live birds or wild birds, and he's got a little earthenware vessel, and he's got a stick of cedar, and he has some scarlet thread and a piece of hyssop. And what he does is he connects the cedar to the hyssop, and he ties it, and he makes a little broom with those three items. So he's got two birds and a little clay pot and a little broom. And he comes out to the former leper, and he checks him over to see if he's truly been healed. And if he's healed, he's going to say, "You're healed. Now we must go through these rituals of cleansing." So he takes the two live birds, and what he does is you picture the little bird, and whoop, he takes his head off, and he pours that into the earthenware vessel, uses the bird as like its own little decanter, and he pours it into the earthenware vessel, and then he dips his little hyssop brush that he's made, and he starts spraying the former leper with the blood of the bird, and then he takes the other bird, the white bird, and he smears the blood all over the bird, and he goes out into a field, and he lets it go. Friends, this is not magic. It's theology. And the theology is that the blood of the one to come who will atone for sins is going to cover you and then free you from that sin. Imagine being a leper, and this is a priest, this is the first clean person that you've seen maybe in months, and the priest comes out and he takes these little symbols of Jesus Christ, and he pours the blood out, and he covers you in the blood of Christ, and he takes the blood of Christ, and he says, "He is carrying away your sin." Friends, it's theology. It's the theology of the cross towards the individual. And then there's this next ceremony, verses 8 and 9. In this ceremony, you know, the first, it doesn't make him totally unclean. There's three parts in this ceremony. The second part of the ceremony is he's shaving. Shaves his whole body. His beard and his head and his eyebrows. And just, you know, he's just totally, totally shaved down to everything or nothing. And he washes his clothing. And he goes home. But he doesn't go in. He's not allowed in his home. But he's given 7 days or 6 days to meditate on his home. 6 days to think, "I have been cleansed by atoning blood, and now I'm face to face with my home. How will that atonement affect my life when I walk through this door?" You see, our Christianity is to affect how we live in our home. What often happens in American Christianity, because we're so individualistic, is we get this me and Jesus sort of thing. You know, it's just me and Jesus. We're in this together. Well, guess what? If you have a home, and if there's others in your home, and if you're connected to other people in some way, then there's no such thing as a me and Jesus moment. Because the atonement that covers your sin is to affect your life in the home. And then on day 7, the leper goes in. After 6 days of meditating on sort of a theology of the home. Can you imagine what that reunion's like? If it's a husband, he hasn't seen his wife in however long he's been declared unclean. Or if it's a wife coming in, it's the first she's seen her husband and her children, and the reunion would be wonderful. And it's intended to teach us something about the way the cross affects all of our lives. And then there's the eighth day. There is the eighth day where more ceremony happens. And the eighth day, as we've already seen in this book, is that day of redemption, that day of full redemption. Remember, the eighth day is the day on which the Levitical priesthood began to operate. That first day of redemption. And on that eighth day, it's that day in which the male children are circumcised to be brought into the covenant. So we have the sacrificial system starting on day eight, and we have the covenant community beginning to come in on day eight. And here, it's that day in which the sinner is reunited with the covenant community. And later, it will be that day on which Jesus was raised from the dead. The theology of the eighth day is a theology of full redemption. Seventh-day Adventists look at us and they say, "You're not Sabbath keepers." And we can look at the scriptures and say, look at all of redemption that happens on the eighth day. So there's this eighth day reunion that occurs between the former leper and the covenant community. And he comes with lambs in tow. And this is verses 10 through 20. And if you thought while we were reading that very large portion of scripture that you were having deja vu, did anyone experience that while we were reading? It's because we read 10 verses, and which was 10 through 20, and then 21 through 32, which is 11 verses, repeat the exact same things with swapping out lambs for birds. We have, again, provision for the ones who can afford the lambs and the provisions for those who can only afford the birds. And we see that the leper, after being confronted with his sin and beginning to be cleansed of his own personal indwelling sin, and that freedom of release and release from guilt that occurred in that bird ceremony, and then he goes home and he meditates on his home and what home is to be like, and he goes in and there's this theology of redemption that opens, and then there's day eight and he comes and there's the guilt offering for cleansing and this wave offering for thanksgiving and a whole burnt offering for his acceptance before God and a sin offering for his redemption and a grain offering given for gratitude. You see, when we are set free from sin in Christ, we are to take an attitude of thanksgiving, an attitude of praise. Our response to redemption is one that is to affect all of our lives as we give praise to God. And here he's being restored to the people of God. See, this is not about medicine. It's about Jesus. These visual demonstrations are demonstrations of grace being acted out to the infant church so that they would know that when Jesus came, that this is something of what grace looks like. We call that types and shadows. And then there is this ritual of blood and a ritual of oil. Remember, as we read about that, there's the blood taken from the guilt offering, and it's put on the right ear, and it's put on the right thumb, and it's put on the right big toe. And then there's this oil that is poured out, and the priest takes that, and he puts it on his right ear, and he puts it on his right thumb, and he puts it on his right toe, and then he covers him with the rest of the oil, and it pours down over him. Do you remember this ritual? We've already seen it in Leviticus. It's the same ritual that was used when the sons of Aaron were ordained. See, the former leper is now being set apart. And as he is set apart, he's being covered in the blood of Christ, and he's being anointed with the Spirit of God, not for office, but for life, so that he may go forth from there living as one who is redeemed. Friends, we must see the gospel here in these two chapters. These two chapters are not here so that people can make fun of the book of Leviticus. They're not here so we can walk around enjoying ourselves by unclean, unclean, mocking the word of God. They're here to teach us about Jesus and what is available in redemption. We see the gospel here, and we give thanks. Because we must understand that our sins separate us from God. And as sinners, we are apart from God. We are apart from Christ. We are outside of grace. And if we are outside of grace, we must look to the provisions that God has made so that we can be saved. And it's what the leper does as he looks to the smoke. And when God would heal a man or a woman of his leprosy, the mediator of the covenant would come and declare him clean. Declare that he has been made right with God. And then this life of cleansing begins. That's our sanctification. Sanctification in our own life. Sanctification in our home. Sanctification within the covenant community. Thankfulness for grace must fill this leper's mind. A sinner once dead is alive. In similar rituals, we're seen for garments and for houses, and all pointing forth to the same theology, this theology of redemption in Christ, that redemption is available in Christ. Friends, this is the gospel according to the lepers. If you are in Christ, give thanks. Because you are no longer amongst the living dead. But if you, even now, remain outside of Christ, if you have not trusted and believed, you are the living dead. Tear your clothing. Cover your face. You are unclean. You must trust in the blood of the one who came to make lepers whole. The one who came to take this leprosy upon himself, that lepers may live. Congregation, as you stand before God on this day, are you clean or are you unclean? Amen. Father, we pray that you would teach us more and more of the gospel. Teach us of the gospel of grace and let it fill us, that we may live. We are abundantly thankful for Christ. We are abundantly thankful for redemption. And we thank you for the dramatic ways that you teach us about redemption, such as the gospel according to the leprosies. Amen.